You might remember some of the skits and recurring segments of the kids' television show Sesame Street, if you're old enough like me. Like many children of the era, I used to sit on the floor in front of the television watching the show, and to this day, some of the songs are in my head. I have one of those songs in my head as I now introduce a series to you. These are the people in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood, in your neighborhood. Do you remember? You would have things like, a doctor is a person in your neighborhood, and the people that you meet each day, people that you meet when you're walking down the street. And how I'm using the words, our neighborhood is North Vancouver, like the neighborhood around North Lonsdale United Church, Upper Lonsdale, North Van City, North Van District. Our community is the church. So we have our community of the church and the neighborhood. It can be helpful to use the word community instead of church because the word church has come to mean institution, organization, building even. You could say we meet at the church. Community, however, is a group of people. I want us to be able to consider that we're a community of people gathered together at a time in history in our particular neighborhood. And every one of us has a story, a history, a background. We care very much about some things and not so much about others. If you could see, I'm picturing us now sitting in church, a service. If you could see the stories of the people who are part of North Lonsdale United around you, part of the community, you could see even more how we gather to seek God, to love one another, and to live out this faith in our larger neighborhood. So this series will be called The People in Your Community. But I still have the song in my head, and it doesn't quite match in terms of its timing. These are the people in your community, in your community, in your community. Here are my hopes for the project, that in hearing one another's story, we would grow in how we care for one another and how we live out our faith. Christian faith is never a solo project. We hold faith together with others. There are people in our community who've been part of North Lonsdale United for 50 years, more even. There are others who've immigrated to Canada and are now part of the community, having joined recently. Some people are here at the stage of their lives in which they face the daily joys and stresses of having young children, full schedules, beyond busy. Others here are retired, maybe years ago, and can think back on such time. The joys and challenges that they now hold are different. They face the challenges of aging, but often carry a wisdom that can be a blessing to others. God is not with us primarily in the programs that we run or the plans that we make. God is with us in our humanity. God is with us as people. I want us to, as much as we can, be present for one another in such ways. Present as people, valuing the stories, feeling gratitude that we get to know each other at this stage of our lives, at this point in the history of North Lonsdale United Church. Ask yourself the question as you see others in church, what does it mean that God is with them now in their lives? What does it mean that God is with us together? I'm confident that you will enjoy hearing the stories of people who are part of the North Lonsdale United community. The stories are truly fantastic. There's so much to know, to consider, to see, to hold in prayer. May we honor God's goodness as we seek to care for one another. There is the history of family and of neighborhood, and then there's the history of rocks and the earth. For this episode of The People in the Community, I'd like to introduce you to Don Blackadar, who's interested in the history of the neighborhood and of family, and in the history of the earth and of rocks. Don's gentleness of spirit, kind approach to the world is evident from the first time that you meet him. One of the first times that I recall seeing Don was at a church annual general meeting. He was secretary, a member of the board, responsible for taking minutes and notes, for keeping track of things. He was sitting up on the stage in the church basement with other board members and leaders, the main hall downstairs. I could see that he was good at what he was doing, that he was considerate. He struck me as the kind of person who showed up to help but did not demand the spotlight. In getting to know Don since, I've seen him to be thoughtful and compassionate. Dawn has been a key part of the North Lonsdale community for many years. You'll hear in our conversation about some of the roles that he's held. Dawn continues to help others out, giving much time and resources in many ways. Dawn's great to speak with. I was pleased to hear about his background, how he came to be part of the community, and how he and his family have been blessed as they have been a blessing. Enjoy the conversation. So there's an old, what's old now, Sesame Street bit. It's these are the people in your neighborhood. Do you remember it? It's these are the people in your neighborhood. And as we embark on this getting to know people at North Lonsdale United Church, this is the first interview we're doing, and I'm sitting with my friend Don Blackadar. Hi, Don.
Hello.
Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah, we're recording on February 2nd, and it's rainy in Vancouver. Just same as it ever was.
Yeah.
So Don, it's great to have you here. And as you know, we've spoken about this before this interview. Part of our intention in this is just that concept that you see people at various church functions or events. And even if you see those same people over a period of years or decades, some of them you know fairly well, and others you know bits of their story. And so I'm just interviewing a number of people, having a conversation, and, you know, tell me about yourself, what matters to you, your background, and the rest. So why don't we start there, kind of go to your background, where you grew up, you know, start with anything.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, I grew up in Calgary. I was born in Calgary. My dad was born in Nova Scotia, but came to Calgary as a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
And
where in Nova Scotia, do you remember?
Halifax.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife's family's from Halifax and moved to Calgary, so there
you go. Oh, interesting. So I was born and raised in Calgary. I just got an email the other day from one of my old friends there that, you know, I still am in touch with a group of guys from
elementary school. Well, how old were you when you moved to Vancouver?
Vancouver, I came out here in 1985. I was in my early 40s.
You had lived a good portion of your life before coming to Vancouver. You'd visited but not lived here? And you've stayed since? You haven't lived anywhere else since?
We've been in our house since? This year, 40 years.
Wow.
In the same house. We've made a few changes over the years.
And where is that place? That's Upper Lonsdale, right?
Not far from the church. Yeah, yeah.
40 years in the same place.
40 years.
So family there.
Yeah, well, our two girls, when we moved here, they were 4 and 9 months. And so now, do the math, they're not youngsters anymore.
Are they still local?
They are. We're very lucky. They both live in Vancouver, and their kids are in Vancouver. And yeah, so for them,
this is home.
This is home.
Vancouver's
My oldest daughter still remembers. Yeah, this is home. I still get back to Calgary. I'm in touch. Well, my brother and his wife live in Calgary. Their kids are out in Vancouver.
And that's where your kids were born.
That's where they were born. That's the family history. We was there for a long time. And I worked a lot in Alberta, in geology.
So your work is geology?
Well, it was. I did geology. I graduated in geology and worked
in it. So for people listening, I mean, geology is rocks.
Yeah, it's rocks. Rocks and minerals.
So your work was rocks.
It was.
I imagine there's various different aspects of geological work. What was yours?
Oh, yeah. Well, mine was, I was in it for just short of 15 years and mostly in mining exploration.
Okay.
So I was out in the bush most of those years when my kids were small.
So not like an office job.
No. It was, it was all, I lived in tent a lot.
So you go out, now I'm thinking of you as an adventurer. You go out to do your mining exploration work.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
Well, it's driven by the market. So as the price of metals is a factor. But I look for what they call massive sulfides. Those are polymetallic, like they have copper, lead, zinc, silver, gold deposits.
So you have a crew that's doing certain tests, like?
Yeah, you'd have a crew.
Drilling or looking?
Crew of guys, starts out with prospecting. If you find something that looks interesting, you stake a claim, and then you do more detailed work, and then you go, if you have some success, you go to drilling.
How did you get into that work? Like, did you know someone? Did you discover it in school? Did you?
Well, I got hired when, at the end of second year, companies were coming around to the class looking for guys for the summer, right?
Yeah.
And guys from oil companies were looking for summer students, and the mining folks were looking for summer students. And I still remember the interview I had with the oil people. It didn't intrigue me too much.
No.
But the mining guy, he sort of described what I'd be doing and what the summer would be like, and I thought that sounded neat. So he said at one point, he said, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "That sounds great." And I was hired just right on the spot. So,
it's changed, hasn't it? Like,
well, it's such a different world now, right?
Yeah. So you stayed in that work for your career?
Well, no, I stayed in it for about 15 years.
Oh, you said 15 years, and then you changed.
I spent most of that time doing mining exploration, which was always out in the Arctic, rural, always out in the bush somewhere. And long field seasons, like 6 months of the year.
How far north have you been?
I've been within 400 miles of the North Pole.
Really?
Yeah.
What's it like up there?
Cold. And, well, it was beautiful. It's gorgeous,
Have you been to Greenland?
I haven't been to Greenland. I was on Ellesmere Island, which is
right
where we were, was right. I could see Greenland. I could hear the glaciers smalling off of the ice sheets in Greenland. We could hear it from where we were.
Amazing.
But I did that a lot. I did a lot of that early on. And then I went back to university for a while, and then I went back for a master's in geology. And then I went, while I was finishing up that, I did 2 years of well site work of the oil patch. So I was on the rigs for 2 years, and I wrote my thesis sitting on the rigs, hand wrote it. That was before computers and whatnot. I wrote it by hand, and I brought it back and gave it to the typist. And times have changed dramatically. But after we moved to Vancouver, things got, I was just, I had two little girls, Jen and I had the two girls, and it was life. It was just too hard for me to be away all the time.
To travel so much.
And so, and I had a couple of tough years in the business, so I decided to get out of it.
Okay.
And I went into IT. I went back to Cap College for a diploma.
So how old do you think you were at this change?
I was like 37, something like that.
Right. So young, but you don't think you're young.
Yeah, I was still young. I was still young, but... compared to today, that's for sure.
Right.
But...
So a significant shift with a young family and such.
Oh, it was a big shift.
Were there risks for you guys? You and Jen, were you talking like...
Well, we had some savings. So we made it through the year. It was only a year. It was an accelerated program for people just like me that were changing careers and were looking at going into IT. So I spent the year studying, and Jan did everything else. And when I finished, I got a job at Lionsgate Hospital. That was my first job, actually.
What were you doing there?
I was a programmer. That's where I discovered I didn't have the aptitude to be a programmer.
Was your office at the hospital?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it was in the basement of Evergreen House back in those days.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
The basement of Evergreen House.
Yeah. 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 I don't know is Evergreen still there?
Evergreen's still there.
It was pretty decrepit even back in those days.
They've tried to spruce it up a little bit, and the staff's great and the rest, but it's a difficult place. Like, the basement of Evergreen House is kind of like...
The people I worked with were great. I enjoyed it. I was there for 3 years.
Okay.
And then I went, took a job at Legal Aid. And by then I'd moved out of programming, and I'd become a business analyst, because that was really... what I like to do.
Very cool. And all this time, your girls are growing up.
The girls, by this time.
Going to school where?
At Carisbrook Elementary School, which is just down the street from
us. And then high school at Handsworth or something?
High school. They did, intermediate 8 to 10 at Balmoral.
Oh, there was Balmoral.
And then
the time,
Carson yeah. Graham.
Oh, okay.
For high school.
Yeah.
And then university after that, they went.
Do you remember what years they would have graduated?
Well, Anna was born in 81, so maybe 1999
yeah.
she graduated, and Carrie was 3 years after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
great that they're still local.
Yeah, we're, Jan and I are very fortunate. We contemplate that every day. It's just, because we know so many people that their children are all over.
Yeah.
We're lucky. We see the kids reasonably often. They lead busy lives. It's, it's like.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That's good. Good for them. You have, so then when did you retire?
I retired at the end of November.
There you go.
As fate would have it. I wasn't working intensely for the previous few years.
But how's retirement been?
Well, I'm learning it. I'm contemplating what I want to do with the next few years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've got some ideas, but it's a
good
journey. It's an adventure, right? You don't know.
I have this picture in my mind of you up Ellesmere Island, listening to the glaciers. These places where the transcendent, whether it's just the way we see nature, where we realize how small we are in the scope of things.
Yeah.
And to use that as a kind of bridge to, not to be churchy, don't worry about it. The less churchy, the better in some ways. But all this time, you're growing up, you move like from Calgary to here. You have this background connected to Eastern Canada and the rest. The kinds of spiritual questions, the ways that you connect in religion or faith or anything transcendent. What was that story like for you? You know, I could ask it in various ways, right? The kind of practical ways, like, did you go to a church growing up? We could say that. Or you could say, when did you first hear the voice of God, right? It depends.
Right,
whatever question you feel like answering, like, what's kind of the background there?
Well, I grew up in the United Church.
Did you?
My parents didn't go to church that often, but my brother and I went to the Sunday school at the church in the neighborhood.
In Calgary.
Yeah. I went, and I still have a close friend that,
same church.
That I went all the way through Sunday school with. And then when we were older, they had a group called High C.
Mm-hmm.
Which we went to. We all went to that.
What was the C stand for?
I think it was Highway to Christ.
Okay, yeah.
That
sounds about right for
that
era.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Sounds like a horror movie.
That's right. But, I sort of grew up and then we weren't in the church for, I got married and whatnot we didn't go to a church really until we moved out here.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was in Calgary and then Edmonton and then back to Calgary.
And so that's North Lonsdale.
So that was North Lonsdale.
So you move into the community.
So we moved into the community.
And then you find the church? Or did you know people?
Well, what happened, the way we got involved in North Lonsdale was, I was out of town all the time and Jan had these two little girls.
Yeah.
And the church had a program called Child Mind. I don't know if you remember
a slightly less intense name than Highway to Christ.
Child Mind was Verna.
Verna was in. We're interviewing her next.
Yeah, and so I've known Verna all those years, and this program allowed young mothers to drop their kids off for a couple of hours. And where they'd be well cared for and loved, and then the moms could go shopping for their groceries or whatever and pick the kids up. So that's the way we started coming to North Lonsdale. And that was, that wasn't that long after we moved here. So it's, close to 40 years since.
So that you connect through a program outside the, a Sunday service time.
Yeah.
Then you start
yeah.
going to the services.
Yeah, and then we started going to the services eventually, and not that long afterwards. I mean, we just were, Jan was, she was volunteering in a Sunday school. All the moms were helping out with the Sunday school, and the lady that was the Sunday school superintendent just, lived down the street from us.
Yeah.
you know, everyone was sort of from the neighborhood.
So it has kind of a neighborhood community feel.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would have been like early, mid-80s.
Yeah, that would have been 85, 86, maybe 86, because we moved
here. I mean,
in
terms of the United Church, there were more people going to United Churches at that time, just across the country. There's been I remember reading that the peak of church attendance in Canada, when it reached the highest, like per capita, was actually 1971.
Oh, really?
And since then, it's gone down, particularly in mainline churches, but all churches now. Like, there's often this kind of idea that, like, conservative evangelical churches have not faced that kind of... They all have. In some ways, those ones have a quicker and steeper decline, or whatever you'd want to say. But what you're talking about is there was kind of this neighborhood feel.
Yeah.
And people, in a sense, more people in the neighborhood maybe went to the church. Apparently, reading the studies... you know, about 1971 being the peak. I don't know what it was that happened in 71, but there was a shift socially where it was kind of expected in a way that part of your life you'd be connected to a church.
Yeah.
And then that stopped around that time, that, you know, being a citizen didn't necessarily include going to a church, which, you know, there's good and bad about that, right? But you're still in the 80s, part of that kind of neighborhood community feel. But then you get, well, you say right away, you said Jan became a volunteer. Even that kind of step was relatively basic. Like
well, it's just a natural thing to do, right? The programs were there. There was a lot of structure in those days. The board was, I got on the board early, not long after we moved. Started coming.
Not long after you moved, you're already on the board.
Yeah, like I got, well, in those days it was, the board was, you know, a different structure. It was much more hierarchical, much more committee driven. I ended up on the finance committee. I think John McKellar was, I remember being at a meeting at his place when he lived up on, close to the church there. I think Tony was part of that group.
Tony Dawson.
Yeah.
How long were you on the board?
I was on the board from then until 2 years ago when I resigned from the board.
I'm trying to do math.
So I was on the board for close to 40 years.
Really. 40 years on the board? You look relatively okay.
Yeah, well, you know, I always enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I did a lot of different things on the board.
You were chair, right?
Way back in the 1990 era.
Okay.
For 3 years, I guess. That was good. But there was a lot of support. I mean, I was, some of the older guys were really good to me.
Yeah.
They helped out. They mentored me, you know.
Yeah.
And then did some other stuff. And then I ended up as the secretary when Herb Jenkin retired. And Herb did that job for 25 years. And I did it for 23.
And, secretary?
Yeah. And
I think you were secretary when I first connected to the church. I remember going to an AGM and you were sitting up on the stage. He's one of the people that is running the show here.
I spent my whole life writing reports and stuff, right? So for me, taking minutes was pretty easy.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the time on the board. I like contributing. I like being part of planning.
Did you have other roles as well? Sometimes board members have like other...
In the early years, it was very hierarchical committee structure. So I was on different committees.
Right.
I was on M&P especially. I was on that
Ministry
twice.
And Personnel.
Ministry and Personnel.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Yeah, that was interesting, and you know.
Did you get to do like performance evaluations and stuff?
We did that stuff, yeah.
Oh, the great! Yeah. I love.
We always get great performance evaluations. I haven't always had great performance evaluations, but we always gave them. But
it's always interesting in a church, right? Because you have, it's not like other work where the, you know, where there's more day to day often interaction, right? So you got a board member coming in and evaluating this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
always
good. Yeah.
So your M&P, other committees you were on, or?
Well, outreach committee, M&P. I was on the search committee for Robin.
Fantastic. Robin Jacobson. So you were there, your tenure at the church is a number of different ministers.
Well, I came almost at the same time that Don Ferris started.
So it was Don, and then was it Robin after Don?
And then Robin, okay. And
you had interns.
And Don was there for like 12 years, and Robin was there for 18, I think.
Wow.
And so the last few years, you know, we've had a bit, it's been a bit more dynamic, but
Yeah, there's always some interim time. And so now in that, I really want to talk about this next piece, and that is one of the things I've connected with you over is your keen sense of history of the past.
Right.
I think you have this in general in your life, right? Like your family background, considering that, it's something that matters to you.
Well, it does, and it might have originated. It might be related to the fact that I'm a geologist, and I got this sense of
history.
Of the planet's 4.5 billion years old, and you know that might be part of it, but probably the biggest part is just the sense of family. My dad had an interesting history, you know, coming out from Nova Scotia when he was a child with his mom, and he his mom and dad had divorced, and this was in 1926. She came out to Calgary on a train with my dad, his older brother, who was 10 years older, and his half-sister, and she had been adopted by my grandmother because her mom had passed away young.
Amazing to think back to these stories, what people were doing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Traveling across the country in those circumstances.
And those were early days for the railroad.
Yeah, with that uncertainty of your life, what could be, how you're going to manage.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's your dad's mom doing that.
She did that, and she...
With how many kids? Do you know?
Three kids.
With three kids, she's doing that to a large degree on her own.
Yeah, and she raised... I mean, my dad grew up in a boarding house in Calgary, and I met some of the guys that... were in the boarding house with him. That's what she did for a living. And then she was a matron in an orphanage after that in Calgary.
Isn't that something? So she ran a boarding house.
She ran a boarding house, yeah. And my dad...
So lots of people coming and going.
Of people coming and going, yeah. And my dad, he wrote one thing I remember is that I reflect on often is he wrote a brief history of his life. I wish he'd spent more time writing it because I think he had a lot to offer, but he wrote this and it wasn't very long, and he typed it out.
Yeah, it's kind of like
typed it out.
Reads like a eulogy a bit.
It was just the story of his life, but a very very cryptic, very abbreviated. But it had some interesting stories, and one of them was he said when they were coming into Calgary, he sensed that his mom, and so my dad was six, and he said he sensed that his mother. He used the word antsy, was feeling antsy, and so she was nervous he didn't know why, but he said the conductor on the train recognized that his mother was nervous, and so he spoke to her, and she was nervous because she was thousands of miles from home, didn't know anybody, didn't have anywhere to live when she got off.
What's going to happen? Yeah.
And she had three kids with her. And, this conductor spoke to her and...
cared for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unreal. You came across that in your dad's writing.
Yeah, yeah.
The
conductor and his wife... invited them into their home.
You're kidding.
For months while they...
Wow. I'm just thinking as you say that, you know, someone who's become a good friend of mine who does a lot of like family legacy work, mediation stuff, all these other things that he's a superstar in a thousand ways. But he's got a lot of clients who are, you know, relatively wealthy. They're talking about like family legacy planning and different things. And he always says to them, the best thing you can give to your children, like your adult children, is to tell them your story.
I think that's true. Yeah.
And, you know, even if you have pieces like this, like your dad as a six-year-old remembering this, they turn to gold, right? There's this sense of like, and now I'm thinking of the geology piece. I love that you brought that up with your regard for history in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you must know that out in the field, you know, whether it's the far north or wherever, that reminder that, like, you're not the first one here. You're not like, or this, these rocks, there's a history here. You say 4.5 billion years, the kind of, and it's the same thing in a community, right? It's one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you about, you know, your own background, your connection to North Lonsdale, because you've carried that regard for the past to who the church is, that the church is not only the people who are there now, but those who have come before. And you, so you're remembering with the church, not only, you know, since you got there, but since you have come there, you've also encountered what happened before you got there. And you honor this and hold this as something that's important. Tell me a bit about that, because that's mattered to you.
I'm interested in history generally.
Yeah.
But
bring that to the church.
Well, you know what? The church, when I think about the church, because I've been there a long time, but that church is over 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
And it's evolved. And I've known quite a few people over the time I've been there.
Yeah.
And like I think of, you know, Kay Furness, she grew up as a Duncan. And Duncan
Hall. Oh, and Duncan Hall, that's the little gym.
Parents, yeah. And she grew up in the church, went to, I think, the youth groups and all that stuff, right? And so you have the sense of history.
Like her whole life, basically.
Her whole life, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you have a sense of the history of the church in that window of history that you've been around.
Yeah,
for,
you're right? Part of it at a particular time.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and this is one of the things that many churches don't have anymore, because like the big churches or the like, they're like these startups and they come up with a name, you know, the Rock or the Port or the, it's always the something, you know, one word.
Yeah.
And they're brand new and they just start. And that's how, if you want to get a crowd of people, you start a new thing, right? Or you rebrand at least and redo something. And but to have a church that has a history of over 100 years and it's mostly a history of the people.
There was a book written, 1995, I think it was. It's called The Church on the Hill.
It is The Church on the Hill.
Reverend Dermot McGinnis led the committee, and I think Kay and Verna and a few others were part
of making that book happen
together. So I've read that a couple of times. It's very interesting. And then we put the history up on the website a few years ago. I wrote that history.
Did you write it? Okay.
I wrote it and I pulled out archival photos from different places. And
so you found photos, some of the people you would have known, and you're looking at a photo where they're much, much younger.
Oh, yeah.
Which is always interesting, right?
Yeah, no.
Lots of photos of like potlucks or this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You see, and then you realize, and you ask, I mean, I do this at least, you ask yourself, like, what was it like? What was around them then? What did this church mean? Yeah. Because then some of those same people, you're seeing them now in church.
Yeah.
And I'm, as a minister, I'm thinking like, what memory are they carrying? Like they're sitting here on this particular Sunday. Yeah. But the formative years of their connection to this church are other years. And they still hold that here. And what it means to regard that for one another, to like, there's new people too, who it's only their second week or third week whatever.
Yeah.
But that's all there in that place, including, and it's kind of mystical in a way, but including, I think, when I'm there, I look out, because I'm often at the front, doing some pastor type role, minister role. And I think, who are the people that used to sit here and here and here and there, right? That were part of this, and that's like back to the rocks, right?
Well,
that we're not the first ones here, we're part of something. And after us, right? That who knows what happens or how things change. Did you come across any objects in your, you talk about photos.
Well, I'm just gonna do a little sidetrack here for a second, your comment about being the first one here. When I was a geologist, I still remember this. It was up on Ellesmere Island, and me and this other guy were hiking up this creek, banging on the rocks is what you do when you're prospecting, right? So you're breaking open rocks looking
for gold. I keep thinking of like, was it Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer with the prospector? Anyway.
Well, yeah, but you know, we stopped for lunch and we were literally 400 miles from the North Pole, right? And total wilderness. And we stopped for lunch, and we were sitting there, and I'm sitting there looking around thinking, and I think I commented to this other guy, you know, we're probably the first people that have ever been sitting here.
Right, that is possible.
Yeah. And then I looked down, and there was a running shoe sitting there. It wasn't my running shoe. So it was amazing, right? Yeah. Like someone else had been there in that remote area, yeah. Right? But anyhow, back to the church.
Remarkable.
I think there are some, you know, we have a limited number of archival things in the church. And there's plaques around the church too, commemorating different things like stained glass windows. There's some of those. The whole front door unit with the big windows, there's a commemorative plaque to that. There's some things that are of archival interest, old hymnaries.
Yeah.
From 1914, something like that. If you look on the, open the cover and look in them, they're inscribed property of North Lonsdale Methodist Church, right?
This wasn't always the location either, was it? The place where it is?
It was originally down, I think, on St. James, just two or three blocks downhill.
Okay, yep.
That was First Church, and that was there till about 19... That building actually is still there.
You can see evidence of some of this history. It's like going to London, England, or somewhere, anywhere in the world where there's like you see little things on doorways or on the sidewalk sometimes saying this is where so-and-so lived or this is where.
Yeah.
And you just walk by them if you don't try to notice.
Yeah, if you don't, they're easy to overlook, right? But if you're a fan of history, I look at something like that and I'll hold that hymnal in my hand and I'll think, okay, this is from 1914. Yeah. I'm thinking of the person that was in the choir that was holding that. Right. Like years ago, we had a big choir.
At the beginning
church,
of
right?
the First World War.
Yeah.
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 What was in
yeah.
their minds?
Yeah, exactly.
What was in their concerns?
Yeah.
What were they praying about?
Yeah. And were there kids in the Sunday school? They probably were, right? And it's like there was another thing there. It was a gavel, a wooden gavel like you'd see in a courthouse, and it was hand-carved.
There was a gavel?
Yeah, it's hand-carved by a...
Who got to use the gavel?
I don't know. Someone was calling the...
The chair, probably, or the board.
A rowdy board.
Not the pastor. The pastor wouldn't get to use it. The pastor would be the person being gaveled against.
That was wake up, you guys.
Enough. Todd, cock,
But anyhow, he'd carved this thing. I probably that was his hobby. But when I look at that, I look at it and think, well, because I've done a bit of wood carving. And I'm thinking, man, here's this guy, spent all his time carving this, and he dedicated it to the youth group. And so he probably spent hours carving this, sanding it, perfecting it, and then he dedicated the church for the youth group. And I'm not sure what the relevance of that is.
They
the
probably
fact
used
that
it
he
in
put
some
all
game.
That, yeah, yeah, that's right.
Popping water balloons.
He put all that time and effort in.
And what was in his mind? What was his family? And what was
exactly, exactly. And that's 100 years ago, right?
Well, I know in listening to this, and people will be listening to this, wherever, in their kitchen, going for walks, whatever, they can download and listen. But then for those of you who are listening, when you're back in the church, we're going to find some ways that people who are interested can see some of these things. Certainly the old photo albums, they're still around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How people could look and see them. Yeah. And for me, of course... being a minister and a pastor, the interest, the history stuff I like as well. But there is this spiritual aspect to this where who we are before God, that we're never, like a theological statement would say, like nobody's saved or knows salvation on their own. We're always part of a larger story and history.
Yeah, yeah.
And then these individual community churches, whether they're United Church or another kind, the people that were around you, but it's not only the people that are around us in this present day when we show up on a Sunday, it's that people are around us who have gone on before us.
Yeah.
And it does help in our spirituality to be aware of that. I think of it as like that man who's carving that gavel.
Yeah.
What does it mean that his prayers are being lifted up and my prayers are being lifted up and God somehow holds them and hears them at the same time, because God being above time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us in that when we're in the congregation and we're singing and we're listening to the sermon and we're, and that's one of the things I love about talking to you. You have that awareness about you, maybe from your work too. That
maybe a little bit. I think it's more from, you know, the family. It's been important in our family always, and in my wife's family. You know.
So as we kind of wrap up our conversation, what does looking ahead look like to you then? I mean, you're at this stage in your life now. Your kids are growing up and grown up.
Yeah.
What matters to you in the days ahead?
Well, I think I've always thought that outreach was important. I think that's probably, for me, it's the single most important aspect of, but outreach, helping out generally,
right?
But helping out other people.
You kind of mean the differences churches can make in the community, ways of engaging.
Yeah. And North Lonsdale, I mean, we've done different things over the years. But increasingly, there's more and more opportunity.
Right. We've always something there.
Yeah.
You've helped with newcomers to Canada.
Yeah, newcomers is a big area where you can make a difference. There's the different programs like, you know, First United Downtown. We used to have a group that went down there and helped do the dinners.
Yeah, you've had some connection with some of the meals, like whether there used to be Sharing Abundance, and still do some stuff down at St. Andrews United, right?
Yeah, well, Henny and I were the dish brigade.
Okay.
We got a lot of experience on the on the automatic dishwasher in those days.
Yeah. Down in the kitchen.
Yeah. We had a great, the ladies had a wonderful team of people that, there's people in the kitchen preparing, and then there's a whole team that served, and then there was the guys doing the dishes, Henny and me, and there were some other guys that helped out as well. I go down to St. Andrews every Thursday. They have a community lunch. They have several programs like that, but this one on Thursdays is the one I go to, and it's amazing.
The ways that you engage, that I've always, as the relatively brief amount of time we've known each other, I saw that right from the beginning, that this is a part of who you are, how you engage in the world, and what it means to live out faith in this world, right? To make difference, to kind of be aware of what's around you. And of course, we've been talking about being aware of what's around you historically and in terms of the past.
Yeah.
But right now, too, the difference you make.
I think anyone, everyone should go down to St. Andrews for that lunch and take a look.
I've been to it a number of times myself.
It's just amazing. Yeah. You know, they've got a great team of volunteers.
Yeah, and the location is great, Central Lonsdale.
Yeah. And the people that are there, you know, when you go and you see them, you know that this is helping them through their lives, right? Because they need help.
Yeah.
They do... they've got a group in the kitchen. They've got a group serving, a group cleaning up. They've got bakeries all over the community. It's incredible. And that's just one of the programs they do. So there's opportunities in that area for...
Well, good for you. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me at all that you're continuing to engage with these kinds of things. Anything else you want people to know? Like, oh, by the way.
Well, I just think one thing that I've learned in the last couple of years is advocacy. Outreach isn't just, it's more than, it's almost like a one-on-one thing where you can sit down with someone and help them through a process, right? And that's an important, increasingly important thing to be able to do in today's world. Right.
Very well put.
Yeah.
And a really good way to end, because without trying to, move us back to kind of, emotion is fine. So when you mention advocacy, to move back to your father as a 6-year-old on the train and your mom by, I would say, God's grace and someone's kindness.
Yeah.
Somebody advocated for her, became someone who said, for his mom, became someone who said, you look like you might need some help. And Don, I've seen that about you. that you have about you a way of looking around and saying, you look like you might need some help. And so whether that's engaging as a board member or someone who comes alongside a newcomer to Canada, and in that, you are a wonderful example for the rest of us. So I know you're not the type that would want to be, you know, I don't think, have rounds of applause and all the rest for that. But that is part of what it means to work this faith out as a community of people together.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Well,
and
thank
thanks
you
for joining us. Real pleasure.
Thank you.
The People in Your Community is a production of North Lonsdale United Church in partnership with Reflector Project. Inquiries can be made to Todd Weeb through the North Lonsdale Church office. Thank you for listening.